Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are in Bill's story on page 7. Reading paragraph 3, which begins with, "But it was not." Today's readers are Phyllis D. for the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. for the 12 Traditions, Lorraine N., Faye B., and Tam M. Leah S. will greet our newcomers after the recording stops, and Leslie M. will close us out with some important announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, and that would be for Tuesday, September 22nd, is 15410. That's 15,410. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, September 23rd, is 15418. That's 15,418. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Phyllis D. to please read the 12 steps. Star 1 to
Thank
you,
you,
please.
Yeah, I forgot that part. Hi, this is Phyllis D. I'm from Central Illinois, and I'm very grateful to be doing this. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thanks so much, Phyllis D. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, excuse me, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. And thank you for the chance to do service today.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story, and we are on page 7, reading paragraph 3. And I will now ask Lorraine M. to please begin reading.
Good morning. Lorraine N., recovering compulsive overeater in Oregon. But it was not. For the frightful day came when I drank once more. The curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. After a time, I returned to the hospital. This was the finish, the curtain, it seemed to me. My weary and despairing wife was informed that it would all end with heart failure during delirium tremens, or I would develop a wet brain, perhaps within a year. She would soon have to give me over to the undertaker or the asylum. Well, this paragraph means to me, what does this paragraph, surely this was the answer above this paragraph, self-knowledge. And I have written there, not, I could fill a room with the self-help books that I bought over my lifetime trying to deal with my eating disorder. And they all had some good points in them, but, you know, none of them worked. And, well, you know, they worked if I worked them. But so I also have written in the column here a side note that my vision's healing began, and I have written for 2019. So I started listening to visions April of 2019, and that's when my recovery really began. And this paragraph is not a happy paragraph because it's talking about yet another bottom that Bill hit, and he's going to hit more. You know, this is the thing I discovered. There's always another bottom, you know, and my last debacle with food was so horrible, and yet it was not as bad as some of my binges in terms of the amount of food I ate that night, but I was in such misery. And I want to speak to the newcomer because I now have several months of abstinence, and so it can happen. I was 68 years old. I had no reason to believe this program would help me. I had tried all the things we all try. I wish I had the money now. I'd be traveling around the world, the money I spent on gyms and trainers and diets and all that. And so the hope is that there is healing here. This, I consider this meeting a sacred space in my world. And healing happens here if you just stick around and listen and then start taking some action. But I listened for a long time before I shared. And so I know there's a lot of people out there listening who are suffering. And my purpose today is to carry this message to the still suffering compulsive overeater. So stick around and God bless. Let's have a great meeting. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lorraine. And now we do experience and value, we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on this line and you haven't for the last couple of days, please give me your name.
Margo.
Margo.
Pam M.
Pam M.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Deb E.
Deb E.
Delphine B.
Delphine B. in France.
Miriam Riska H.
And Miriam Riska H. How nice. What a great lineup. Okay. Margo, if you could give us the first initial of your last name, you're going to be our first share. Then we'll have Pam M., Kathleen O., Deb E., Delphine D., and Miriam Riska H. Please go ahead, Margo.
He is a boy. He's the last. And hi, my name is Margo. I'm a compulsive overeater. It's really great to clean my seat. Take a breath and a pause. Appreciate everybody being on the line. Thank you, everybody, for your service. Thank you for the qualification. And I guess what I really wanted to say was, oh, you know, I have this increased, quote unquote, appetite. What is that about? And it struck me, you know, between the eyes yesterday, like when I'm seeking something sexy or provocative to eat, like who looks at food as, you know, provocative and, I mean, just whatever. I'm a compulsive overeater. So I'm like, what the heck? And it's all the frustration. So it was just good to identify the feelings. It was like good to identify that it doesn't matter what my feelings are. My final common pathway was always about the food, bags, boxes. Oh, my gosh, passed out on a couch, you know. And I just need to remember that and keep it green. And I love hearing that there's always a bottom because as the food goes, you know, God lifts that obsession by God's mercy and grace because there by the grace of God go I. The bottoms for me have been emotional. And if I go and I play with the food and I run to the food, then it kind of hinders that process. So I just want to be present and know that it's God doing it for me because I could not do it for myself. And when I heard about all the money, oh my God, and the time fighting with food. Oh. And it's only through God's mercy and grace that a day at a time, sometimes a minute at a time, sometimes a second at a time that I could be placed in a position of neutrality. And I just had to say that, you know, it's my feeling, you know, and food is not the way to deal with feeling. Because I got to tell you, it doesn't matter how much I would have ate, it would have never addressed the feeling. So I'm here to say that I'm feeling a lot of feelings. I have pain, I have grief. I realize that a lot of the root is fear, terror, and sadness. And, you know, I'm just going to keep keeping on and getting through. And I just really appreciate everybody here. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Marco B. Pam M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Kathleen O.
Thank you. Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M., recovered in upstate New York, and such beautiful shares already. The day always came when I binged once more. and my bodily health was declining. My collection of antacids filled the cupboards and my purse. There wasn't a, even in my glove box, there was antacids. I would fill my days with food and my mornings with enemas and laxatives. Occasionally, I would spend the night in the hospital due to gastritis, pancreatitis, or other quote-unquote unknown causes. My compulsive and bulimic behavior was hidden from the world, but my lashing out and my misery could not be kept a secret. My husband feared he would become an early widower, as I was always unwell. There was no asylum or hospital to help me. Finally, after starving myself for 3 months and gaining all the 30 pounds I lost back in 1 month, I landed in OA. I finally got stable in my food through practicing entire abstinence with the help of these steps, this fellowship, and my higher power. I needed those three things. And when I got stable in my food, everything else stabilized. My health, my emotions, my thoughts, my nervous system, my mood, my relationships. And I learned that life can be good. And I'm so grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you, fellowship. Thank you, Bill W. Thank you, Big Book. Thank you, A Vision for You. And with that, I pass. Moderator?
Hi, Kathleen. Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, thank you, Pam. And thank you, Kathleen. No, you're up next.
Thank you, Elaine. I didn't know if that was you or me. So good morning. This is Kathleen O in Northern California. But the frightful day came when I drank once more. Oh, that sentence just rings so true with me. I mean, how many times did that happen to me? I can't even count. I couldn't stop. And like Bill, I would have horrible binges and I'd wake up with remorse and hopelessness. But my mind would convince me just this one more time and then I'll be done. Tomorrow I'll stop. You know, Bill spoke of the mind and body being marvelous mechanisms and how his endured for several years. Well, somehow mine endured for several decades and I don't know how it did it. Learning that I had an obsession of the mind, an analogy of the body, was really amazing information to hear, but that didn't help me either. You know, it made sense, but even that wasn't enough to stop, because self-knowledge is not enough, and it's not the answer. I knew there was something that made me want to eat myself to oblivion the way an alcoholic drinks themselves to oblivion. I had something in common with alcoholics in that when I had a problem, or even if I didn't have a problem, I'd eat for that ease and comfort that would come at once. And, you know, even today there are times that I'll want more food because when things aren't going my way, the ease and comfort can come quickly by using the food to feel better. And I think that's why my mind goes there sometimes. You know, pausing, taking the time to figure out what I'm feeling, doing a 10th step if necessary, going to my higher power, that all takes a little longer. So, you know, as an addict, I always want a quick fix. And I think that's maybe why sometimes my first thought is, I just need more food. Thankfully, working this program, you know, I don't go there. But I learned the only one who can heal the obsession of a sick mind like mine is the power that created my mind. And the power that's greater than myself that can restore me to sane thinking. You know, like Bill, I was hopeless, I was desperate, I was powerless when it came to what went into my mouth, and I couldn't change. I couldn't change anyone, I couldn't change anything, and I especially couldn't change my own behavior around food. I needed something different. It wasn't about doing the steps, but it was about living them every day. So despite the necessity, despite the wish, the determination, no matter how much I believed I wouldn't eat again, just like Bill, until I found the solution, I was doomed. So this dis-ease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and I was without defense. from, you know, the power food had over me. And these steps do work if we work them. Life happens, excuse me, and my body is genetically wired to eat when left to my own devices. But with the help of my fellows, all of you on the line, my sponsor, I was able to stop this insanity, and so can you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Deb E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Delphine V.
Hi, this is Deb E., calling recovered in, I was going to say Southern California, but I've moved, so recovered in Israel. Glad to be on the line today. I just want to grab this last sentence from the previous paragraph to kind of lead into what I wanted to talk about. That part, surely this was the answer, self-knowledge. And this is, but it was not, for the frightful day came when I drank once more. And so that reminds me of the years before I found a way, when everything I did was run by my ego, my pride, and self-righteousness. You know, like I thought I had all the answers. I didn't need to ask anyone for advice. I didn't need to ask for anyone for guidance. Certainly not a higher power. That was not in my wheelhouse. And it's because I thought I had the answers, because of that self-knowledge, that I was able to drink once more, right? That's how I was able to yet go back to the food and get right back into it. Because I was just repeating the same behavior over and over. It's like, oh no, I know how to do it this time. And I thought I was doing something differently, but it was really still all the same, because it was all based on my ideas and not including a higher power whatsoever, not including like anything from the spiritual world. And this next sentence, the curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. You know, I have a year that I've kind of looked back and analyzed, a year from my life when I was in my early 20s, that I've looked into, like really kind of dug deep into in the last few years. And for me, that's like, that's when I fell off like a ski jump. I mean, I just fell into this kind of black hole. And the only reason I was able to fall off was because I didn't have that connection. And so then after time, I returned to the hospital. This was the finish. The curtain, it seemed to me. And I would have thought, like looking back, I look at that year and I think that had to have been the end of, you know, that kind of behavior and what I did with food and all the resulting behavior from being in my character defects like that. And it wasn't. I still, you know, it still went on, and it still took me another, I think, like 4 years to find OA. So this paragraph really reminds me of how if I don't have that connection, I don't hold strong to it, and I don't keep working on a daily basis, that's where I'm headed. Like, that's what's waiting for me on the other side, and I don't want to go back there. And so I'm very grateful that I really enjoy these meetings, and I really enjoy working the steps, and I enjoy being a part of Overeaters Anonymous, so it doesn't feel so hard. But it was really hard in the beginning. It was a struggle, and until I made that shift, you know, it was that the disease really had the stronger hold on me, you know. And now,
gentle reminder.
Thank you. And now it's the solution that has the stronger hold on me. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Deb E. Delphine B., you're up next, followed by Miriam Rivka H.
Thank you so much. Delphine B. from Compostable Burrito from Paris, France. Thank you so much for your shares and for the reading. This reading really speaks to me about the progressiveness of my disease and the pure insanity of it. And it reminded me of the last crazy stuff I did before I came into OA. I remember, for instance, once during the World Cup, everybody was happy. I was in severe depression, and I saw my daughters laughing, playing with their friends, and it made me so sad that I went to the river, and I began to go in the river, and I wanted to drown in the river, which was completely crazy because everybody around me was happy, and so I should have been happy with them. or when I, a few months before getting into OA, I purposely ate a cake with drug in it, and I never took any drug before, and it led me directly to the hospital, and I lied to everyone. I told them that I didn't know, but I knew. I was just so exhausted, I didn't know how to do it, and so I was completely insane. And also, this reading also speaks to me about my relapse this summer, because even though I knew OA, even though I had been working step 1, 2, and 3, and I was in step 4, and even though I knew the consequences, I slipped a bit and slipped until I relapsed. And I have the feeling, and that's just then that I met Vision for You. And it seems to me I hear the message deeply and for real for the first time. And I can't tell you how much to hear some of you saying, I am recovered, not cured, but recovered. How much it gives me hope and faith. And I've been abstinent for 19 days now, and I really took for seriously the definition of my food plan and of what abstinence means to me. I really took time to honestly see my trigger foods, my trigger behaviors, and just with that I feel a real difference, and really I know that just working the steps seriously with honesty the best I can, will get me to recovery. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Delphine D. Mary Ariska H. will share next, and after her we'll take another lineup for people commenting on Bill's story, page 7, paragraph 3. Hi, Miriam, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Mary Ariska H. in New Jersey, recovered compulsive eater. Very, very grateful to be on the line this morning. I can identify so much with this. You know, when you read this paragraph, right, they say this was the finish, the curtain, it seemed to me. Like it was just finally bad enough that it just couldn't get any worse. You know, and we've been reading the progression and how it's getting worse and worse and worse. And finally, he's at the end. Like it can't get any worse. But then you turn the page and he was off again. You turn the page and he's still going. Normal people don't do this. Normal people don't hurt themselves again and again and again and again. But I am not normal when it comes to food. You know, and it's amazing because someone just shared about how, you know, they were at the finish and then it was 4 years. I had the same exact experience that I had everything I ever wanted. I had a husband. I had beautiful children, including a gorgeous newborn baby. I had a son, an older son, who had just been hit by a car and miraculously was saved. And he went through a lot of treatment to get back, to be able to walk and run and stand again. And today he gives me heart attacks for the things that he does. But we had planned a big party. We planned a big party to thank God that he was okay. And the night before the party, I picked up food. I picked up, I binged. I had everything that I could have wanted, and I binged. Why? If I knew that it would hurt me. I knew so many times I've done this before, and I knew it would hurt me, but I did it again because I am not normal when it comes to food. And I remember the morning of the party just feeling awful and disgusting and horrible and crying to a fellow on the phone saying, I have everything to be grateful for, but I can't feel grateful. And I remember that day also sitting with my husband in the living room and saying, I am never going to do this again. I am never going to do this again. And he looked at me and he said, you've said that before. And he was right, because that was 4 years ago. And today I am abstinent and recovered, and it's only been 3 months. It took another 4 years to really get to the place where I saw that there is nothing that I can possibly do to get myself better. And I know my time is running out, so I'm going to close But the good news that we have here is that pretty soon Bill is going to recover, even though he is acting so insane with the alcohol. And there are hundreds of thousands of us who have recovered, even though it looked like it would never, ever happen. So let's stick around and follow the directions in this book. And with that, I pass.
So true, Miriam. Thank you so much. So though we value your experience very much, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to, please give me your name.
Mo H.
And I heard more. Mo H and E. Someone E?
George E.
George E. Thank you.
Kaylee Y.
N. K. M. Y. And someone N, I believe I heard.
Sherry H. M.
Sherry H. M. Ronnie
and B.
Did I hear someone with a last name N?
Carol G.
France N.
France M, that's who it was. Okay, and I heard you too, Carol. And so I'm not sure if we'll have time for everybody, but this is the lineup we have. Mo H, George E, Kaylee, I'll need to get your last initial when you share, France N, Sherry H N, Ronnie B, and Carol G. So please get us started, Mo H, and if you're not Mo H, please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Elaine, and good morning, everyone. My name is Mo H. from Walnut Creek, California. And as everybody else, I'm zeroing in on this first sentence, but it was not for the frightful day came when I drank once more, when I ate once more. That when I first came to A Vision for You, which is almost 5 years ago right now, I heard people saying, you need to identify in, you need to identify in. And I didn't quite know what they meant by that, but I had never heard that in all the years I was in the room. Identify in with what, you know? But then when we started reading the big book, they were talking about, identifying in with the words in the big book. And I can totally identify in today. But it was not for the frightful day came when I drank, when I ate once more after 25 years of being in the rooms and I had 5 years of what I call white knuckle abstinence. I ate once again. And I picked up not just anything, I picked up sugar. And it went on for 2.5 months and 25 pounds. And, you know, this was the finish. This was the end. I didn't know what was going to happen. I don't get a wet brain, but I certainly get a lot of other symptoms like cotton mouth and bloated stomach and lethargy and also jittery and anger and irritation and everything at anybody and everybody. So luckily I picked up the phone and called somebody and I didn't know they were in the vision meeting. They were in our rooms and She got me into the big book and it changed my life. This meeting has changed my life. So for the last 5 years, I have had a neutrality around the food, which I almost can't believe myself because as some of you may know, I recently lost my husband and someone asked me the other day, how did you remain abstinent during that time? And I said, well, it's just habit. That's just what I do. I just eat my weight and measured food. I had my kids weighing and measuring my food. Why should I eat because he passed? I just have more problems. So, you know, if you're new, just see if you can identify in with one word in the paragraph or with, you know, one share that somebody shares and call them up and talk to them because this disease just grips us and it will kill us eventually, slowly, not as quick as an alcoholic, but quickly it will kill us. So with that, I pass. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Mo H. George E., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Kaylee, and we'll get her initial when she
yes.
When she shares. Thank you, George.
George E., Cincinnati, Ohio. I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And, yeah, I've read Bill's story so many times that, you know, I glaze over certain paragraphs, and I'm sure this was one of them. You know, it's interesting we didn't read both paragraphs at once because they are, you know, intimately intertwined with the but. And I'm sure people have been around the room so long know that everything after the but is. So the point I'm trying to make here is that it isn't just self-will that's going to keep me out of the program. It's self-knowledge. And I really have trouble putting down my will. Even when I'm having a good day like today, I struggled with food addiction for so long that I don't even know I can't recognize the truth from the false, you know, because I can't even recognize a good day from a bad day, you know, and that's all about living in the present, you know. If you have disdain for today, you're lost in yesterday. And one thing I appreciate about this part of Bill's story is he doesn't glaze over anything. He really doesn't. But this paragraph probably represents almost a year. You know, and to us, it's just one paragraph. But this hopelessness went on day after day with periods of sanity. There were periods of relative sanity. And I'm not going to judge Bill. I don't know where he hit bottom. You know, his real bottom might have been October 29th, 1929. I don't know. I do want to recognize or try to recognize where his moment of clarity was, where his jumping off point was, because those are the things that seem to be common in all the STEP programs. And I'm grateful y'all are here, and it's one of the little ironies that if it weren't for COVID, I wouldn't be here on this call. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, George E. And Kaylee, you're up next. Would you give us your first initial of your last name before you share? And you're followed by Francine M.
My last initial is Y.
Thank you.
Kaylee Y, anorexic bulimic from Southern California. This is my first time sharing on this meeting. I really liked this paragraph. It brought me back to the days in OA when I would come in and I was introduced to OA from treatment when I was 15 years old, and I'd come into meetings the first 6 months of going to OA and raise my hand and be like, I purged again. And I was so powerless with food and the food behaviors, you guys. I had a sponsor, and I would call her every time after I purged, and she's like, why don't you call me before, Kaylee? And I just couldn't get it together. I was trying to stay abstinent, and I just couldn't. I was going to a dietitian at the time, and I was lying to her, and she's like, but the scale doesn't lie, Kaylee. I know that you're not eating, and I know that you're throwing up your food, and if you can't get it together, we're going to have to send you back to treatment. And I really had a hard time giving up the food to God. You know, I thought that self-knowledge and the self-will would keep me abstinent. I really thought that God didn't care about the food. Like, that's something that I should have been able to handle. And once I really gave up the food and the food behaviors to God, that's when it really changed for me. So at 16, I got abstinent, and I have a little bit over 8 years now, and I continue to give up the food to God. There's been a few times in the past 8 years where I came really close to purging again, but instead I get on my knees and I give up the feelings and the need to purge to God, and I'm really grateful to be here today.
So thank you.
Thank you very much, Kaylee E. And up next is France N. Please go ahead.
Hi, my name is France N. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Lillian, Alabama. What I'm thinking about in this paragraph for me is the tens and thousands of times that I would relapse and still have hope, and I've always and try the next best thing, and I have done everything in 65 years. I've been abstinent for 2 years, so I'm 67 years old, and I've always looked at it as a negative thing about what I went through. But today I know that God held my hand, even though I thought he wasn't there for me. He gave me the hope to try the next right thing at the time, what I thought was the next right thing. And it brought me to that full surrender. And I don't know how it happened when the obsession was relieved. I really, you know, all I can say is that it took what it took for me. And I'm very grateful for this program as well, because it's gotten me deeper into my spiritual growth and my connection with God. So thank you for your service, and thank you all for being on the line. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, France. And Sherry H.N., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Ronnie B.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.N. from Washington, recovered compulsive overeater and sugar addict. I could really relate to this because my health was also very despairing. I used to swim competitively and jog 6 miles a day, although I wasn't, you know, bulimic in that respect. And then I couldn't walk, and I could hardly breathe from a disease called ankylosing spondylitis and later lupus. And it was, really hard to walk, so I had to roll off the bed and crawl down on my knees and use the restroom that way. And my quality of life was nothing. So anyway, I just thought, well, maybe this food thing, maybe I can try, you know, another diet one more time. But I remembered a friend in Al-Anon who was in OA, so I heard her story. And I was really at the end of myself, like Bill is almost to the end of himself. And on the way home from listening to her story, I just, you know, threw up my hands, so to speak. I said, God, I can't do this. I cannot do this. You're going to have to do it for me. Please, for the next 24 hours, you know, keep me off of sugar. And then, you know, began to work the steps, listen to these podcasts, you know, really a lot. And I was also willing at that point to do whatever it takes. So I'm just so grateful for 6 years of abstinence and for all of you people, and that I don't miss it. I'm just so grateful. So have a great abstinent day, and thanks so much.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. Ronnie D., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Carol G. Star 1 to unmute, Ronnie. Ronnie B. Well, let's try flip-flopping that and see if Carol G is available, and then we'll try Ronnie B again. Please go ahead, Carol.
Okay, thank you. Hi. I think this is only the second time I've shared here, and I'm excited. I am a recovering compulsive overeater outside of Chicago. What struck me in this paragraph was the declining moral health in addition to the physical, because my last worst time was feeling like I was at retirement age, even though I really couldn't retire, and just sitting in a chair with the drapes closed, not answering the door for a neighbor, which was so embarrassing, and just feeling so depressed, like probably the most depressed I ever had been in my life, that this was just how I was going to be for the rest of my life. And it was because of OA that I got my life back. And I also want to say that I have had some slips. And my wonderful sponsor, instead of saying beat yourself up, said sometimes these can be learning experiences. And if I had never had back-to-back abstinence, I wouldn't have seen the difference in my personality change when I did pick up. And this leads me to that line in the paragraph about my weary and despairing, I'll say here, husband. Because my poor husband was the one that got the brunt of my personality changes when I picked up. It was almost like that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde syndrome. I became paranoid. I hated myself. I hated everything and was like the walking dead. So I never want to ever go back there again. And that's why I keep coming to these meetings. I keep talking to my sponsor. I keep making outreach calls. And most importantly, I keep having that connection with my higher power. And it really doesn't take that long. In the morning, I have to stay there until I get to that point where I can feel that connection within me. And then I can start my day. So I'm so grateful for this meeting, for all your recovery out there. And I really feel I can relate to everybody on here. And it's just marvelous. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Carol G. So I thought I had heard a Ronnie B in that last lineup. Is there a Ronnie B that wanted to share or a name similar that I didn't get correctly? Okay, I must have made a boo-boo. So if there's somebody else who'd like to share, we do have time for one more share.
Penny LC.
You got it. Thanks, Penny.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And I just think of, oh my gosh, you know, what Bill put himself through and what I put myself through, just to face that frightful day again and again and again. And all the that I put my family through. Oh my gosh. And yet it's as you could say sad as that is, it's okay with me today. Because today, by God's grace, my higher power has walked me to a place of understanding, surrender, and recovery that I never really thought I could get to. With the help of fellowship and these pages and this direction and being able to know that God's will is there for me if I'm willing to seek it and follow it and I can get out of self-will, it makes all the difference in the world. And I don't have to come up against another frightful day today. Don't have to have that fear that's looming even. To be have that gift and to want to live in that place today, to preserve that gift that I've been given of neutrality and peacefulness and serenity in my days. And I can stay away from those frightful days again. I can know that it's really a choice I get to make today, to choose God reliance instead of self-reliance. And all those if onlys and those yeah buts get to melt away today as I surrender one more day with a grateful heart. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. Really appreciate it. And thank you, everybody who shared, came, listened. Welcome, welcome, newcomers. We're going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Fabi please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Fabi, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, now in Mesa, Arizona. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little, God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the happy road, or the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.